You're listening to Central Time. I'm Cynthia Schuster.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
We've come upon that time of year when we usually ask ourselves, where did the summer go? We're sure you did some amazing things, created lots of memories. Did you enjoy them? I mean, really enjoy them? In the age of selfies and Instagram, people are constantly posting and sharing their adventures online.
What memories did you create this summer? Were you posting on social media during all your summer adventures, or did you do your best to unplug to stay off the internet? And how did it go? How do you think social media has changed the way we experience travel and summertime? You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send us email to talk@wpr.org.
Our next guest asks if we were too busy tweeting about our adventures rather than living in the moment. Danny Heitman is a columnist for the Advocate newspaper in Louisiana. He recently wrote an opinion piece for the Wall Street Journal called "Have You Twittered Away Your Summer?" Danny, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, hi. It's good to be here today. Happy summer to you.
Happy summer to you. So let's start with the quote that you shared from Mark Twain in that piece in the Wall Street Journal. In your piece, the Sacramento Union had sponsored a trip to Hawaii on the condition that Twain send dispatches from his time there. What did he have to say about missing deadlines?
Well, he was supposed to document his experiences more or less as they happened, and he filed his copy late, and he said he had basically gone to Maui, had a great time, and he said, "I would not have fooled away any of it writing letters under any consideration whatever. He basically said, "I wasn't going to waste time writing about my experiences. I wanted to enjoy them." And as I mentioned in my piece, as a newspaper man, I would be reluctant to take that advice. I might get fired. But his larger point was that it's more important to enjoy an experience than to fuss over documenting it. And so in my opinion piece, I explored what balance do we strike between actually enjoying our summer vacation and then trying to tweet about it or post things about it to Facebook and Instagram. And I don't think that, you know, you have to do it all one way or all the other, but I do think it's an important balance that you have to strike. So,
well, and how did you find that you can strike that balance? Is it fair to say that you can't thoroughly enjoy your vacation if you're busy documenting it?
In my particular instance, this tension really rests squarely in the middle of the relationship I have with my wife, who is a lady I just dearly love. But she is the recording secretary of our family, so she is the person who is going to be taking pictures of us while we're kayaking or while we're enjoying a meal, while we're traveling, while we're sightseeing. And thank goodness that she does that, because if she didn't, we wouldn't have any pictures at all. I'm more the person who's living in the moment, and I live so much in the moment that I'm not thinking about posterity. I'm not thinking about that day that's going to come, you know, later in the year when the summer is over and there are no pictures at all in the scrapbook because Danny forgot to take pictures. So I'm glad that my wife documents those things, but sometimes, you know, I'm cautioning her, hey, maybe we're spending a little bit too much time taking pictures of the experience instead of enjoying the experience themselves. And in my piece, I don't really offer people a precise formula for working this out, but I do raise the question about what is your comfort level? To what degree do you think you should document your summer fun, and to what degree you think you should just go ahead and enjoy it? And I think it's an issue that has become more prominent now that we all have iPhones, mm-hmm. So that with cameras on them, so that I think this kind of self-documentation, the whole selfie culture, it's just a lot more intuitive for us. We just do it without thinking about it. And part of the reason for me writing this piece was to get us thinking about it. So.
Well, on the one hand, if we don't take pictures of our adventures, if we don't write about them, then all we have to rely on is our memory, and we could have a really good memory, a really bad one. I'm curious if, as being someone who likes to live in the moment, and you don't typically you're not typically the one that takes pictures of your vacations, and it's your wife that's doing that. Do you find that if you didn't have a camera at all, or if you didn't have your wife there to help record the adventures that you've been going on and the things that you've been doing, would you remember them as well if you didn't have those pictures to look back on?
Well, something interesting happened to us. We did go kayaking. We were not, when we were on vacation in North Carolina this summer, we were not able to bring our smartphones or any kind of electronics with us because we didn't want that equipment to get wet. So we had to rely on our five senses to just basically imprint this experience onto our memories. And I found that just the fact that I didn't have these recording devices with me sort of forced me to really be more aware of my surroundings. And, you know, my mom used to say that she thought calculators had sort of inhibited our ability to do math on our own. And not that she was against calculators, but she did raise this interesting issue: to what degree does technology empower you, and to what degree does it sometimes disempower you? And I do think the fact that we can take pictures sometimes prevents us from actually trying to commit this image to our memories that we have up in our old noggin. And so I would just raise that issue, is to just throw that out, is that, you know, sometimes not having a camera forces you to remember something in a different way. It's not that it's necessarily better or worse, but it's just a different way, and it's important for us to connect with that from time to time, too.
Mm-hmm. How has the rise of the smartphone and technology changed the way that we live in the moment or not?
I noticed that with my kids, of course, and this is not an original observation, that they are sometimes so connected to their technology that they're really not aware of their surroundings. You know, part of the reason we go on vacation is to experience other landscapes, other cultures, and if you're constantly connected to a device, then, you know, you might as well be back home. You know, is one way to look at it. My colleague Walt Handelsman, who's a great newspaper cartoonist, he recalled this experience that he had in visiting upstate New York, where it was a beautiful lake that he was looking at, and he looked over to his left, and there were two young people sitting in front of this beautiful lake, and they were both on their laptops, and he felt that, you know, the real experience of this place was really lost on them because they were so immersed in their technology. So I think technology is a tool, and like any tool, it can be used or perhaps misused. And I think it's just important for us to be in control of our technology instead of our technology being in control of us. You know, Henry David Thoreau famously said, "We are tools of our tools." And what he meant is that the tools were running us instead of us, you know, bossing the tools. Mm-hmm. So all those things are worth considering.
Well, smartphones now have essentially become cameras. And I think people just have stopped buying cameras because of it. And now when you're out with your friends or whatever, people are just taking pictures on their phones. And it becomes the de facto camera. Would you recommend, as a means of disconnecting and really enjoying those vacations away from home, in investing in an actual camera? Should that still be part of our, you know, packed in our suitcase?
We do have a camera that we use. I think maybe the better solution is to just put yourself on a smartphone diet. I brought my smartphone on my vacation, and gosh, I'm really glad I did it, because the ability to occasionally connect with my home and my office as I traveled actually enhanced my vacation and allowed me to have a greater sense of ease, because I was able to answer a few emails and connect with folks. So I'm not against smartphones, but what I did try to do on my vacation was put that smartphone away from time to time. Mm-hmm. And by not being so connected to it all the time and sort of putting myself on a smartphone diet, I was actually able to enjoy my vacation more. But it's something I continue to struggle with, and I think all of us do. And it's all about striking the right balance, and that balance can differ from person to person.
It's funny, I feel like I'm the only person in my family that will take an actual camera on the camping trip or have it, you know, sling it around my neck while everyone else is just holding out their iPhones and stuff. So I feel like a dinosaur in a way. It is a digital camera, though, I will say that. We're talking with writer Danny Heitman. He recently wrote an opinion piece called Have You Twittered Away Your Summer? We want to hear from you. Did you make a specific effort not to stay tethered to social media while enjoying your summer vacations, your adventures, your long weekends? Or do you enjoy tweeting and posting about your daily goings-on? Is it important to you to remain connected, and why? You can let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And you can also send us an email at talk@WPR.org. We'll hear your summer stories right after this check of the news with Kristen Durst from the WPR News Department. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Rob Ferret. As summer winds down, we're reflecting on the trips we took, the memories we made, and whether we were truly living in the moment. Writer Danny Heitman recently wrote an op-ed column called Did You Twitter Away Your Summer? And now we turn that question to you. Do you make a point to live in the moment, to keep your updates and your photos offline until after they're over? Or is posting about your adventures a way to document the stories before you forget about them? You can let us know at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or send us an email to talk@WPR.org. Danny, let's start by taking a call from Ellen in Milwaukee. Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
Hi. What's your reflection on summer?
Just on summer and just in general with the idea of the posting and the twittering, sometimes I wonder if all of this posting and living out loud, so to speak, if it makes us forget that we all need a little bit of privacy. And sometimes these really special, glorious moments that we have, if they're that special and important, some of them should be private, and I see my kids just putting everything out there all the time. And you lose a space. There's no space between your own little experience and the world out there. So that's just my idea. So mm-hmm. I'll just hang up and listen to what you think about that.
Yeah, Danny, what do you think about that? Do you think there should be a proportionate relationship between privacy and those special moments?
It's something that I have been struggling with for, I guess, 25 years now, because even before the social media revolution, a lot of the work that I did as a columnist for the newspaper was writing about my family life. And I've written about certain family moments because I feel that it might be a source of connection with other people who've had similar moments in their families, and it might actually be affirming for them. At the same time, there have been occasions where I felt, I'm gonna draw a line here. I'm not gonna write about this experience because I do indeed feel that this is an intimate moment, and that to some degree I would commodify it if I shared it with a larger world. And in some ways, I feel that with the social media revolution, we've all become writers. We have all become filmmakers, and we're all struggling with the same things that writers and filmmakers have been struggling with for a long time. And I do think that the caller makes a really valid point about the need to share some save some moments for yourself. I also think that people feel compelled to document things sometimes because there's a sense that life is fleeting, and that if somehow you can take a picture of it or you can write about it, that moment is not lost, you know, and it's an especially urgent feeling I think we get in summer and also during the Yuletide holidays. We have a sense that these times are not going to last forever, and we feel like we have more control over them if we can document them. But at the same time, if you document them too much, then you're actually losing an essence of that experience. So it's just a bargain we all have to strike. Mm-hmm. But I do think it is important to keep certain moments private. I did not take a lot of pictures, as an example. We didn't take any pictures in the delivery room, you know, whenever my two kids were born. I know they're a perfectly nice, earnest, loving, spiritually deep people who think that that is a good thing to do for their own reasons. And so I'm not going to judge them. I'm just going to say that that is a bargain that all of us have to sort out for ourselves.
Yeah. Gary in Milwaukee is next. Gary, what's your question or comment?
I absolutely, you know, try not to put anything online, you know, as far as social media for myself personally. I do love to take pictures on vacation for probably that same reason that you just said. You know, you want to remember that, and you want to look back at it, and you want to capture it. But I usually hold on to those, and I organize them, and I share them back to the family and friends that I was there with, kind of like a little souvenir later on. I like to, you know, print them out, and they always come back to me and say, well, why don't you post it online? That way I can have them all in one place or share them. So I'm getting a lot of pushback that way. I wanted to share that. And also I did that same experience on that kayaking trip where I wasn't allowed to bring any kind of photographic equipment. And I thought, well, this is probably the most beautiful area I've ever been in that I'm missing out. Kind of made me think, you know, well, how can I get this out on paper to share? Do I start drawing it out, or do I start painting it? Do I look at other creative ways to share that experience, or do I just grab something online to share where I was at so I could tell people about it?
Interesting, Gary. So two things there. One, let's start out with maybe the expectation by others for you to share your life on social media, even if you don't want to. Danny.
There is that urge, isn't there? But I thought that there was a pretty profound moment in a summer movie last summer, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. There was a photographer in that movie played by Sean Penn, and he is up on a mountaintop, and he's been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for a snow leopard to appear so that he can photograph it. The snow leopard appears, and Sean Penn's character puts his camera down and chooses not to photograph it. And Walter Mitty says, my gosh, you've been waiting all this time to photograph this this snow leopard. And Sean Penn's character, the photographer, says, you know, sometimes I just look at things just for me. And what he was saying was, I think the experience is actually going to be compromised if I photograph it. I'm going to actually miss it. And so I think the fact that scene is in the movie and the fact that it resonated with people, I think all of us are struggling with this basic question of how much do you live your life and how much do you document it?
Mm-hmm. And Gary was saying he struggles, too, if he doesn't have a camera or something. How else is he going to document it so that he doesn't forget maybe the utter beauty that he observed on that kayak trip and everything? How do you do it as a writer? How do you go back and capture in as much detail as you can the type of experience that you had while you were unable to document it in real time?
I think sometimes the answer is that we don't remember things perfectly. And that's really part of the magic, isn't it? I mean, I know that all of us have family stories about something that happened to Grandma or Aunt Sally 40 years ago. And every time the story is told, it's elaborated and it becomes a sort of a family mythology. And I'm sure that there are many moments in my life that seem indelible to me, and yet I'm sure that they didn't happen exactly the way that I remember them. But I think that's sort of part of the experience of being human, is that we develop our own mythologies about who we are and who our family is. And I think to the degree that you are always documenting it, I think that to some degree it can become kind of prosaic, it can become kind of clinical if everything's documented. And sometimes it's nice to have that experience where memory meets imagination. And those spaces become more easy to access if we're not holding a camera in front of us all the time. That's something I throw out for consideration.
Well, in our last minute here, we started the interview by talking about Mark Twain and the line he drew as he was specifically asked to offer his dispatches from another part of the world. But some of us just can't let go of the smartphone and can't stop tweeting or posting about what we're doing. What advice do you have for people who just can't disconnect?
Start small. You know, I think a lot of people think that they have to go cold turkey. Start putting that phone away for 10 minutes. And maybe 10 minutes can become 20, can become 30, can become an hour. But I would start small. You don't have to go cold turkey. Just try to set a few minutes aside. And I think you'll find it's a lot easier than you think it is.
Well, Danny, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your thoughts with us. We always enjoy hearing from you. What will you be spending the rest of your summer with? How will you be spending it before Labor Day?
Here in Louisiana, school starts at the end of August. My son is back in school, and so we're sort of already in a kind of an autumn rhythm, but we're going to have a barbecue and go swimming on Labor Day, and that'll be the capstone of our summer, and it's been a great summer. And I always enjoy connecting with Wisconsin Public Radio, and I hope that you folks enjoy the rest of your summer.
You too. We enjoy talking to you, and we'll have you back sometime. Danny Heitman is a writer, and his recent opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal is called "Have You Twittered Away Your Summer?"
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster. News is next on Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.